visual here. I'm not sure if we call this a shmuz or a shir. But in Kelm, they recommended going through the parsha of Kabbalah Satoira, learning it up again, in order to really connect to the issues. So we're going to actually do that. We're going to go through the parsha inside. So you may want to get a chumash if you want, but I think you'll be fine with that one also. But if you want, you want to have a chumash in front of you, we're actually going to go through it inside. But again, you'll also be fine with that one. You see that by learning the parasha Be'iyun, it's a very powerful means of really just connecting to the dynamic of Kabbalah Sotero. So we'll start from Shemois Perek Yutes, B'chodesh HaShlishi, the Kriya that we're going to actually lay on Shavuos. And we'll see how deep we'll get. I don't know if we'll manage 2 psukim, 10 psukim, all the parasha. Let's see. So the parasha begins, "B'chodesh haShlishi, l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, b'yom hazeh bo'u midbar Sinai." B'chodesh haShlishi. So the first thing that we'll notice, but Victor Miller points this out, is something a little unusual about the beginning of the parasha. Almost all parashas in the Torah, almost all, start with a vav, and there's reason for that. But, right, you notice that Vav is probably the most common, by far, beginning ois of a pasuk. Particularly the beginning of a parasha. And here we start without a Vav. And what that's signifying is, and this is a point that Maisi is seeing in Chazal, Be'etzem there's a beginning here. This is Me'ein Maisa Bereishis. Because really, Bria's Olam is only reaching its completion now. The way Rabbi Victor Miller put it is, the simpler part of the Bria happened in 6 days. The next more complicated part of the Bria took another 2,448 years. Because really, the Bria, the essence of the Bria is a world that's supporting an Am Yisrael performing Torah. That is a functioning world. The world up until that point is called, Chazal call it Alpaim Shnois Tohu, right? And also, we know the Gemara in Shabbos, the famous Gemara in Shabbos that says, this is how the Maharal explains that Gemara in Shabbos, famous Gemara in Shabbos that says that Yom HaShishi Tanai Hisna Kadosh Baruch Hu Maisa Bereishis. Right? When Hashem finished the Bria, He made it Tanai. If Yisrael will accept the Torah, you'll exist. If not, not. Meaning there really is no world without a Torah. So the whole world was kind of like in limbo. Kind of like, not really finished. Existing on borrowed time, if we'll put it that way. Existing on borrowed time until the point came where the Torah was given and then the world was plugged in. Now there's a functioning world. There's a world with an Am Yisrael performing Torah. Now there's a functioning world. Why was this the more complicated part of Bria's Olam? Because for Hashem to create an inanimate world that operates without Bechira, including animal life, Bechule, it was easy. But in order to get to Kabbalah Zatera, you have to get to a place where there were people who Mikoyach Bechirasam drew close to Hashem. And then Hashem went through the process of turning that person into an Am Hashem, Avraham Avinu. That was a complex process. But that was really the next stage of Bria Soilam, bringing the creation of the Am Hashem, that's really the whole point of the Bria. That's really what gives the Bria its whole purpose. So that's why we're reaching here a point of Me'ein Maisa Bereishis. The world is being plugged in and it's starting to operate now. So B'chodesh HaShlishi L'tzeis B'nei Yisrael B'yom HaZeh Bo'u Midbar Sinai. Okay. Now, וַיִּסְעוּ מֶרְפִדִּים וַיָּבֹאוּ מִדְבַר סִינַי וַיְחַנּוּ בַמִדְבָר וַיִּחַנּ שָׁם יִשְׂעוּ נֶגֶד הַהֹר. This is a packed pasuk. But before we even get into the details of this pasuk, let's just notice that there seems to be something strange going on. What did pasuk Aleph say? On the third month, they came to Midbar Sinai. What does pasuk Beis say? They left Rephidim. And then they came to Midbar Sinai. In other words, pasuk Beis is backing up. Pasuk Aleph jumped ahead. They came to Midbar Sinai. It's not really a chronological description. They came to Midbar Sinai. Wait. They came from Rephidim and they came to Midbar Sinai. What's going on here? The Or HaChaim says something mind-boggling here. And this is a Kedai to actually, I recommend actually reading the Or HaChaim inside. Bichlal, if you want to go through this parasha with one mefarish, go through the Or HaChaim. But the Or HaChaim says mind-boggling words. He says, Koshe lama ichram ukdam. Why are we putting what happened first afterwards? And he says, Ulai hu al derech amun. These are words like, you have to be on the madrig of the Rachaim to dare to say this. But he says, Ava mekalkelis hashur lahaktim amu'ucha. Meaning as follows. What is the Torah? The Torah is not a description of Klal Yisrael. It's not Klal Yisrael's history. The Torah is Hashem's perspective on reality. That's what the Torah is. We're not going to elaborate on that now, but that's a very fundamental statement. If the Torah puts emphasis on something, that means that that is what holds Hashem's attention. So Kibiyochel, what the Or HaChaim is saying is, Ava Mekalkelis Hashur means that it's almost as though protocol was broken. Protocol was broken. The Torah is stated in a very orderly way, but Kibiyochel, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's excitement, listen to his words, can only say them based on his license. This is the day that Hashem has been waiting for excitedly, kibiyochel. La Torah, la Olam, la Elyonim, v'la Tachtonim. So this is a way, this is the day that Hashem, the Torah, the entire world, the upper beings, the lower beings, were all just waiting in anticipation for that day. Kibiyochel, from the Bria, from the first day of creation, there's this eager waiting. When are Klal Yisrael going to arrive at Har Sinai? There isn't even a world yet. I mean, it's Shemayim Ha'aretz. There isn't even plant life yet. And it's already like, when is Klal Yisrael going to come to Har Sinai? So lezeh, k'sheigiyu shama, see, Avin Or HaChaim a little bit clouds his words. He doesn't say it b'pem mole. But he says, k'sheigiyu shama, when they actually arrive at Har Sinai, like atzu koyach l'sapra seder adavar. Kibiyachol, the Torah couldn't contain itself. Who's the Torah? Who's the Torah? Like, who's talking? Who's the narrator? Couldn't contain itself, right? The techev kamaydo, and it's like this excited declaration of bayim hazeh bo midbar Sinai. And then afterwards, we back up to tell you the story. It's mind-boggling. And listen to the words that he continues with. These are words that should be put in red letters. He says, "Higia choshuk v'nechshak lechoshek lechoshuk." Meaning, he's saying that there were these two kiviyachol, two intense lovers who were just held from each other until now, and now they came together. The point of contact was made. V'samchu shamayim v'aretz ki zeh ha'yom. This is really everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hoping for and waiting for in the world. Now it happened. Okay. Then the pasuk backs up to tell you, okay, now I'm going to tell you what happened. And that's why, right, the story starts in the next pasuk. The first pasuk is kiviyochol, an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's excitement. My children came to me. And this was really what everything up till now was all about. The Ramban says a similar, so I'm not going to be reading out inside Mefarshim from this point on, but this Or HaChaim, yes. This Or HaChaim, just to actually hear the words, the powerful words, can I actually see it inside? The Ramban says a similar idea, but but more from the perspective of Klal Yisrael. It's kind of expressing Klal Yisrael's excitement. And here also, we have to understand, connect to the dynamic of what's happening here. Har Sinai didn't happen in a vacuum. Har Sinai has to be taken against the backdrop of Yitzias Mitzrayim. I'll say it like this. We're saying Dayenu, Ilo Hitzionu Mimitzrayim, Ilo Kervanu Lufnei Har Sinai, Veloinu Salonu Sotero, Dayenu, right? Had Hashem brought us to Har Sinai, not given us the Torah, that would have been enough. Everybody is, right? You just trip over that immediately. It's like, what? What does that mean? But bring us to Har Sinai and say, okay, bye. It's kind of like, you know, we think of it as like, you know, say, I'll give you a ride to the bus stop, but there are no buses. Right? What would be the point? But the truth is that it's not that there's a teretz on this kasha, but that the kasha, if you really appreciate what happened at Har Sinai, the kasha doesn't begin. What happened at Har Sinai? So like we said, it comes against the backdrop of Mitzrayim. You can't approach the dynamic of Har Sinai not against the backdrop of Mitzrayim. We discussed it before Pesach, so I'm not going to discuss it at length now, even though really Yetzias Mitzrayim is the critical preface to Har Sinai. But a few psukim later, how does Hashem preface his appeal to Klal Yisrael? He says, Atem Re'isen, Atem Re'isen Asher Asisi Le'Mitzrayim. That is his approach to Klal Yisrael. You saw everything that I did in Mitzrayim. In other words, we said this before Pesach, I'm going to repeat it briefly now just because it has to be in this context. But what's happening is as follows. Hashem is saying, I'm coming in Kiviyachol proposing marriage. So you want to know who I am. Like I've said, how Reb Shimshon Pinkus puts it. Reb Shimshon Pinkus puts it that if a young man is proposing marriage to a young woman, and she has to decide if she wants to accept or not. So he says, she needs to know two things. Everything else, all the criteria that a girl might have, are elaboration really of two fundamental questions. Who is the guy? Who are you? And how do you feel about me? Those are the two ma'akev questions if she wants to be able to accept the marriage proposal. I have to know that you're a person of a certain quality. Even if you love me dearly, but if you're a lowlife, or if you're a lazy good for nothing, etc., it's not going to work. I have to know about you. And number two, I have to know, how do you feel about me? You might be the most successful person in the world, but if you don't care for me at all, again, it's not going to work. So these are the two things that I need to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim for the purpose of achieving that. Now when he comes to propose marriage, kiviyochol. The Rebbe Shimshon Pinkus puts it as it was the courting process, it was the shidduch. Hashem took us through the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim in order to show us both of those points, introduce us to Him. You see who Hashem is? The whole world actually watched open mouthed, being introduced to who Hashem is. And number two is, I care about you. So before Pesach, right? And Para asked, Moshe came to Para and said, Elokei Ivri, Shlochani Elecha, the God of the Hebrews sent me to you. And Para says, Mi Hashem? Who is Hashem? It's the other rabbi. Hashem said, that's exactly, I was waiting for that question. That's the question I want to answer on your back. Not because I want you to know the answer as much as I want my children to know the answer. But very good. You asked the question, I'm going to show you the answer in full form, blow after blow. And you'll know who Hashem is. And here, I don't know who is Hashem. He tore apart all the greatest forces of nature, tore apart the mightiest nation in the world. That's who Hashem is. And the world is watching open mouths. Shamo Amim Yugazun, right? As one thing culminates with another. And they all believed in their different gods. But this concept of Elikeo Elihim, that controls everything, and that all the greatest forces, and the ones who are thought of as the greatest gods, the sun, is just a humble servant of his. All of them. This was a world, a new concept that the whole world was watching in awe and open mouth. And but to Klal Yisrael, there's a double message. I'm Hashem, Ani Hashem Bekerav Haaretz, and I'm your father. I'm doing all this because of my love for you. And therefore, that's the preface, that is the preface to Matan Torah. Whatever the case is, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they were watching for that close to a year of the process of the Makkahs. They're watching and their mouths are getting more and more open as they're watching who their Hashem is. You thought you were abandoned, and look who your father is. And it culminates with Makkas Bechoris, which was the greatest revelation of Shechina and Olam Hazeh up until that point. But then he takes them from there, catapults it to Kriyas Yam Suf, which was a whole new level. And he's just showing them and showing them. And here, they're in awe, right? That look who he is, and also awed over the fact that he wants us, he's interested in us. He calls us his people. This was something that Mamish shook them to the core. And then they came with a bold request. They understood that as much as they're seeing, there's more to be seen, there's more closeness to be had. They said, if he's showing us all this, they said, "Ritzoneinu liras es malkeinu, we actually want to meet you. Kiviyachol. We want to meet you." It's a bold shayla, a bold request. But Hashem has nachas from that request. He says, okay, we're actually going to meet at Har Sinai. It's going to be a simple process. 49 days of working towards it. And the truth is that from Rosh Chodesh Sivan and on, all the preparations working toward it took on a whole new level. As Hashem is readying them to be brought to levels that, the way it's described in the Pasuk is, Heviyani HaMelech HaDorov. It says in the beginning of Shir HaShir, Moshcheni acharecha norutzu aviyane amelech hador. Moshcheni, pull me after you. That's what Hashem did in Mitzrayim. When he yanked us out of Mitzrayim, showing us who he is. That followed with acharecha norutzu. Klal Yisrael was so enthralled, it was just like, whoa, he wants us to be close to him? We're just running after him. We ran into the Midbar after him, not worrying about where we're going to have food from, etc. That was the closest period between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Hashem thinks back to that kaviyachol fondly, nostalgically, and says, Zochalti lo chesed nu'orayich, right? I remember the devotion of your early days, of the early days of our marriage, avas klulei soich, the love of the early days of our marriage, when you just followed me out into the midbar. And Klal Yisrael is making that request, kiviyachol, we want to meet you. And Hashem is preparing them, that's the 49 days of the Sefira, and it continues, it culminates with these few days before Har Sinai, which is the days we're in now. And then lemaisa, what happens is, if you really think about it, you can mamish feel a quiver go through your whole body. That they're standing at Har Sinai, and everything opens up, and kiviyachol they hear the most mind-boggling words ever. Let me introduce myself. I am Hashem. Each individual is standing there and being introduced, addressed that way, in a personal, individual level. Hashem is talking to the 2 million people of Klal Yisrael, 3 million, however you figure the number, that are standing there at the foot of Har Sinai. He doesn't say, Anochi Hashem Elokeichem, I am all of your God. He's talking to each one individually and saying, meet me, let me introduce myself. I am your personal Elokeichem. If you understand that, if you appreciate that, you understand that had it ended with that, Dayenu, it's not even a kasha, that would be enough to set us on fire for the rest of history as dedicated Abdei Hashem. How would we serve it? We'd have to figure out to the best of our ability what to do. And to try to follow the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. And try to learn his values. And try to figure it out to the best of our ability. But then Hashem came and took it to a whole different level. And he said, I'm going to give you all the instructions down to a T of how to connect with me to the utmost through the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. But had it ended with that, Dayenu, that would have been enough to set us on fire for the rest of history. The momentum that we have today is still carrying off that momentum. At the end of a long, tough gullus, to a large extent, you know, the wheels are grinding. But it's still running off that experience. So, this is the excitement on the part of Klal Yisrael. We're seeing here the mutual excitement as Klal Yisrael are approaching Har Sinai, of, like the Aruch Chaim described, in the way that only he could, Hashem's excitement kibiyachol, and Klal Yisrael's excitement. Klal Yisrael's like reaching the high of their existence. And this is expressed in this pasuk. Pasuk Aleph, the excitement of just stating, oh, this is the day we got to Har Sinai, and then backing up and telling the story. Now, I just want to make a comment. We say that the Orach Chaim says, Ava Mekalkelis is Ashur, Kibiyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't follow protocol. Again, if we're saying that the Torah is actually an expression of Hashem's view of reality, then that's the pshat. The pshat is that reality is that Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael overrides anything else. It overrides nature. It breaks all other rules. Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael is the most overriding reality in the entire Bria. So now, right there, Pasuk Beis. Let's see if we'll actually make it into Pasuk Gimel. I'm not sure. We only have another 40 minutes. So, Vayis'u merfidim, Vayavoyo Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Bamidbar. They came to Midbar Sinai. They camped in the Midbar. Where else would they camp? Vayichan Sham Yisrael Kenegador. Klal Yisrael camped opposite the mountain. Why are we stressing that they camped in the Midbar? So the Ramban says this is all part of that same dynamic. They just set up camp, meaning normally when they come to a new camp, so you take time checking out the area, checking out the conditions. You don't just plunk your tent down wherever. You figure it out, right? You take time learning the area. It could be an hour, I don't know how long it takes when you're moving from place to place. But here, it's again, in that excitement, as soon as they came to Midbar Sinai, it was just, everybody plunked their things down wherever it was. Vayachanu Bamidbar, whatever, however. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Keneged Har, it was all just, okay, everybody just drop your things and run to the Har. Right? Kind of like, you know, it was a very faint marshal, right? Very faint marshal, you know, when the kids arrive at camp or at the bungalow colony or at the wherever it is you're going for the weekend retreat, just drop your bags and run to the pool. So that's obviously a very faint marshal, but this is the point. They just dropped everything and just at Har Sinai, when is it going to happen? But here I want to again slow down here for a minute and read into this pasuk. This pasuk, like I said before, is a very packed pasuk. The Orach Chaim reads into this pasuk a lot. In fact, he reads into this pasuk the three fundamental conditions for Kabbalah Sotar. So first of all, Vayis'u Merfidim. We're stressing now part of the process of Kabbalah Sotar was that they left Refidim. Refidim was the place where they were before. What happened in Refidim? That's where Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael, right? That was at the end of Parshas Bishalach. But how did a Chazal explain what was going on there? Refidim, Asherafu Yideim in Atir, right? They became lax in Torah, and therefore, Amalek attacked. I'll just note in parentheses that, yes, there's a direct correlation between Klal Yisrael's security and safety, their standing, and their application to Torah. If anybody thinks there might be any relevance to contemporary realities, yes, that's what I meant. But whatever the case is, vayis'u merfidim, meaning they became lax in their Torah, and that's what enabled Amalek to attack. When they left from Refidim, it means that they internalized the lesson. They were going away from a state of laxness. In other words, they came to Midbar Sinai with the understanding that a lax attitude is not going to work. If we're approaching our Sinai, it's going to have to be with a very intense attitude of working hard. If you want to be an Eved Hashem, and more specifically, if you want to be Matzliach in Talmud Torah, it's going to have to be with a very strong work ethic. Not sitting back and relaxing. So that was number one, that attitude. I'll note something. I want to say this carefully, because you know, when we talk about Yirida Sederis, when we talk about, you know, people sometimes take it as like banging ourselves over the head. Look what a lousy bunch we are relative to the earlier Sederis. Now, that would be true if we created the Yirida Sederis. We didn't create the Yirida Sederis. Yirida Sederis is a certain reality. We are not on the level that they were in earlier times, but that's not our fault. On the contrary, that's what defines our specific role in Avodah Zarah. It's the understanding that Hashem expects, wants to see what can we produce with our limited ruchnias, dikkei capacities, etc. I just want to say that, but at the same time, we do have to be aware of Yirida Sederis in order to appreciate our reality, in order to appreciate our place in history, in order to appreciate how to relate to the previous generations. But whatever the case is, it was very interesting. This week I still brought down from Aaron Leib Steinman something that actually, very interestingly, I heard from a top mental health professional who explained, told me, this was a few years ago, a clinical explanation of Yirida Sederis in our times specifically. And this week I actually saw Aaron Leib Steinman say it in his way. But again, I'm stressing now that the reason I'm saying this is not for the purpose of let's understand how lousy we are, but on the contrary, to understand what is our place, what's the role that Hashem is giving us. So he said, this person explained to me that what do we find? Today people have, it's also, people have a much weaker emotional constitution than they had not very long ago, a few generations ago. And it also expresses itself in Yirida Sederis and spiritual capacity, etc. He said, go back 300 years. In order to get through the day, you had to work very hard. You had to work very hard. If you were willing to be up in the morning, at 4 in the morning, going to chop wood, to schlep logs in, you froze. It didn't help if you had a good excuse. You got all the excuses in the book. If you didn't get out at 4 in the morning to bring logs into the house, you froze. And you couldn't explain to the winter that you really couldn't get up today. And that you usually do get up. And that you've been trying, etc., etc. The winter froze you anyways. And you know what that meant? That meant that you got up at 4 in the morning. Even if you had gone to sleep at 2 the previous day. That was the reality of life. The reality of life was very demanding just in order to get through the day gashmias was. Now, Lamayis and Ruchnias has the same demands. What happened was, as things became easier, and then even easier, and then even easier, in terms of Gashmias, the problem was that the demands of Ruchnias didn't change. Such that you can get away with, you know, the heating will work even if you don't get up at 4 in the morning. The hot water, you don't have to schlep out to first schlep in the water, and then to heat it up and boil it up, etc. You can get through the day in a much easier way. And Mamela and Ruchnias also, we kind of move through the day in that easier way without the same rigorous approach. And therefore, when we are actually facing situations that demand a much more rigorous attitude, we often just don't have it. So this professional told me basically that. He said that's why people have a much harder time these days contending with difficulty, and it mamish destroys them. Whereas in earlier times, they were always contending with difficulty. So one thing was a little more difficult. So I saw it expressed by Rabbi Aaron Leib, was that he said something fascinating. He pointed to the year Tuf Reish. He said that was the end of the Tkufa of the Achrayim. And that's where you saw the marked difference.
It's Tuf Reish?
Tuf Reish, that's what he said.
As in the year.
Yeah, which is about 1860. 1840. Obviously, it's approximate. So he said, people think that the reason is for the decline and the drop in the Madrega of Godless Batera, he said, people think it's because of the Enlightenment, because of that skull. But he said, but that's actually not really true, because that happened about 100 years earlier, it started. He said, the reason is because that's when electricity really made its way around.
The Industrial Revolution.
Yeah. He said, that's when life started becoming easier in leaps and bounds. And Imamish made the same point. He said, whereas in Ruchnius, the demands and the standards stayed the same, but we accustomed ourselves to an easier approach to life. That's where the drop happened. So again, why am I saying this? I'm not saying this for the purpose of, look how lousy we are, we have lights. Right? And yeah, feel guilty about that. You should not go home and just push a thing on your kettle. Go, strike rocks together, and if not, feel guilty. That's not the point. That's not the point. But the point is the understanding that, on the contrary, the godless of our door, the godless of our door, is to appreciate the fact that the real rigor demanded for Avodas Hashem lies in rising above what we can allow ourselves in our normal lives. It lies in pushing ourselves above that. And on the contrary, we'll get that much more credit for it, because if we can show Hashem we're capable of rising above, right, our own reality and pushing ourselves that much harder in order to get close to you, in order to accomplish in Torah, etc., that is exactly the godless that distinguishes our door. In previous Torahs, sure, they got further. It wasn't as much of an accomplishment, because that was the natural mode of life anyways. So this is all just coming back to, so I hope this was taken in the right way. It's not about banging ourselves over the head, but it's about appreciating where we should be setting our sights. And this comes back to the Rafidim piece. You want to accomplish in Torah, you have to be really ready to put yourself through the rigors. So that's Tanai number one, the Or HaChaim reads into this pasuk. That they departed from the state of Rafidim. They departed from a lax attitude. Vayavoyo midbar Sinai, vayachanu ba midbar. And number two is that they camped in the midbar. Chazal tell us that ein divrei Torah miskaimim ela b'mishem meisim atzmei kemidbar. You have to be like a midbar in order to really absorb Torah. Meaning, lowly, humble, hefker. So the Or HaChaim says, "Vachanu b'midbar" means they settled into the reality of the midbar. They took note of the fact that this is where Hashem is giving the Torah. He's giving it in a humble setting, on Har Sinai, the humblest of mountains. Right? This is where Hashem is giving the Torah. They noted that and they said, "Okay, we have to be lowering our egos, lowering our sense of self, in order to make room for Torah, for Elokus, to really take root in us. The less of my ego there is in the way, the more Hashem will merge with me." So that's Tanai number two. Withdrawing the ego, pulling down the ego. And Vayichan Shom Yisrael Negedor. And here we have the famous Rashi. Rashi says, Yisrael, singular, ki ish echad b'lev echad, that is Tanai number three, the Achdus piece. That we camp there as one people. The way, the Maharal, you see that reiterated again and again, how Achdus is a very important Tanai for Hatzlacha and Torah. Many of the Memches Kenyanei Torah revolve around Achdus, selflessness, connecting to the people around you, feeling the people around you, Nesuboilem Chavayroi, etc. So the Maharal says, yes, Hashem is one. And the role of Klal Yisrael is to reflect that one. Hashem doesn't settle, kibiyachal, the Shekhinah, which is one, won't settle on something fragmented that's all over the place, because the Shekhinah is not all over the place. The more one we are, the more we reflect Hashem, the more kibiyachal Hashem, the Shekhinah, can settle on us. Now the Kli Yakar adds a very interesting twist here that really brings it home. Because when they came to the Midbar, they're standing at Midbar Sinai, and they're awed by what's going on, and they're seeing that this can only happen in a place where you don't have the material trappings, shkoyach, to get in the way. Right? It had to be in the bare Har Sinai with the Midbar around. So he says, like we said before, they internalized that. Now, the more you move your sense of materialism out of the way, the less barriers there are between you and the other person. We're all really just going for the same agenda. I'm moving myself out of the picture. It's really just about connecting with Hashem. That's really all you want also. And the mela that achdus comes. If our agenda really is ruchnius, it really is just Hashem, the achdus follows naturally. And that was what they were experiencing. That was the reality, the dynamic of standing there at Har Sinai. Okay. Well, we did make it into Pasuk. So here we're continuing into the, call it the suspense of being at Har Sinai, knowing what's coming. Moshe went straight up to Har Sinai. As soon as they arrived, Moshe immediately started going up to Har Sinai. The Ramban says that since Moshe knew that this is where Hashem was going to give the Torah, he headed straight there. This is what we're here for, he headed straight there. But the Rachayim elaborates on that. He takes it further. And he says like this. He says, Avram, am I allowed to quote Rachayim in your presence? Want to hear our Achaim? Come here at Shalosh Shulchan.
We actually discussed this.
Oh, this is our Achaim.
Not the Or Achaim that you just brought before.
The previous one. That's the Or Achaim. So our Achaim says, Moshe went up to Har Sinai right away in order to show we came to be Mekabel the Torah. So we're not sitting back here waiting for Hashem to say, okay, I'm ready. We are running toward Him. We're running toward Him. And what happens? Moshe Allah Elohim, Moshe went up toward Hashem. Vayikra Elohim Hashem in Ahar Leimor Koytom Ale Beis Yaakov. Very, very interesting. Hashem said Koytom Ale Beis Yaakov in response to Moshe coming up. That's what triggered it. Meaning, in other words, it's hard to think about what would have happened otherwise. What the Or HaChaim says is that it was the schus of Moshe's eagerness that actually triggered Hashem's response. What would have happened if Moshe would have, if everybody would have first started setting things up and setting up camp? Hashem might have waited. When he would have waited till? I don't know. The Torah would have been given at some point. That's what they were there for. But we have to appreciate this. Far and point this out. Now there were 3 days of back and forth between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. Right? Message coming back. We have to appreciate that this was not just technical. It wasn't like, you know, we have to get the details in place so we can sign the contract. Every back and forth between Hashem and Klal Yisrael was a nevuah being given to them, which was impacting them in a very great way. These days, the Shloshes Me'Agbala, with everything that was going on in the back and forth, was raising them higher and higher and higher, making them that much more conducive to being Mekabel the Dvar Hashem, to being Mekabel the Nevuah. It was expanding their capacities. Every time Hashem said something, and then Moshe went back, and there was another message from Hashem, and another message from Hashem, each time it was making them greater and expanding them.
There wasn't even food
for
that.
What's that?
Moshe being told it to them.
Yeah. But it's the Dvar Hashem coming back and forth, and even without actually hearing it directly in their own Nevuah, they see the interaction. They see the onan on the har for those 3 days. These were days, as far as say, that as far as they got throughout the period of the Sphira and making themselves capable, these few days accelerated it that much more. And Hashem brought them to that much of a higher level in order to really be able to get the maximum of Har Sinai. And this came in the schus of Moshe's fine sensitivity of, I'm not going to wait for Hashem to call me, I'm going to go toward Hashem. Which I'll note also, something to appreciate, Moshe's godness was in his transparency, right? That we know that Moshe's godness was in Shechina medaberes mitoch groinai. He was just reflecting what Hashem was saying. We have to appreciate what Moshe did for us as Klal Yisrael. You see, Chazal stress the greatness of the giver of the Torah, the greatness of the receiver, and the greatness of the sarsu, the greatness of the middleman, which means that actually, even though it looks like Moshe was just Mamish, just an in-between, Moshe actually was a very important part of the story of Kabbalah Sotar. Why? I'm singing this Or HaChaim, and also as things go further. Kabbalah Sotar, as we kind of alluded to, could happen on different levels. It can happen in a more faint way. It can happen with full intensity. The idea of it was to really implant that fire, that connection with Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and that could be done to many different degrees. Kabbalah Sotera could have been theoretically a little more technical. Moshe's role, Moshe understood that the awesome responsibility that he carried was to see to it that the connection between Klal Yisrael and Hashem is created in the top way possible. And he felt the achrayas for every step of the way, is it going to miss a little bit, or will it be to the maximum? And this is step number one in that process. Moshe, immediately as they come, we'll call it the tension of what will the degree of Kabbalah Soter be? How much of an effect is it? How much is it going to strike root in Klal Yisrael? How intense will the Ashras Ashchina be? And that's going to reflect where Klal Yisrael is. So Moshe starts this process by saying, here, we're coming, Moshe representing Klal Yisrael, is coming toward Hashem. And that's what triggered Hashem's immediate response of, Koytem al Beis Yaakov. The fact that Moshe came then. Otherwise, maybe it would have happened 2 days later, and in a shorter kind of way. So what does Hashem actually say? Koytem al Beis Yaakov, v'saged l'vnei Yisrael. Here's what you should say to Klal Yisrael. What does Rashi say? Say it exactly in these words. Which is interesting. In general, we have a klal that Nevi'im, they don't necessarily get the Nevuah verbatim. Right? These are the words you should say. They get a message and they have to give it over in their own words, which is why we find the concept of Ein Shnei Nevi'im Nisnabim Nisibim Nechad. Different Nevi'im expressed it in different ways. Each Navi had his way of saying things. But here Hashem tells Moshe, I want you to give it over with exactly these words. And the Rachaim here says, yes, we're very Rachaim focused now. The Rachaim here says that Hashem was striking a very precise balance in the message he's giving over. A combination. Right? Rashi says this, he says it was meant to come across as tough to the men and soft to the women. But the Rachaim says it more in a general way. There's a combination of a tough message and a soft message that had to be given over in exactly the right recipe. The understanding being like this. The words that Hashem is actually going to say is going to contain a lot of Ava and also a message that you better make sure that you live up to this right, because you don't have room to take liberties. This is a very serious business. So the Rachaim says, and this is really something that we all have to understand in general, our relationship with Hashem is characterized by Ava. That is the overriding dynamic. Yet, at the same time, the Yira has to be there. It's not popular these days. Yiras HaOinish is not a popular concept. We prefer, some people will say it outright, some people subconsciously, not to believe it. Now, everybody knows exactly what the Nusach is, but you see it very, very prevalent in very firm circles. Basically, call it to just like push it aside, but we don't like the concept. But the Rachaim is saying that basically when Hashem is coming with his initial approach is understand that this is a relation of Ava, and that this is a relationship of love with the ingredient of Yira, because it has to be there. You have to understand that Lamaisa, if this is really going to work, there's absolutely no room for stepping out of the line. In fact, that's how the Maharal explains with the classic kasha of Klal Yisrael said Nasa v'Nishma, right? And what did Chazal tell us? That Kafaleim Har Kegigis, he held the mountain over there, right? Kiviyachol, if you're not going to accept the Torah, Shem take for asking. Tosis already asks, right? He said, Nasa the Mishma, why do they need the mountain? There are a number of yeshuvim given. Chazal already give tirutzim for this. That famous Medrash Tanchuma. But the Maharal says as follows. The Maharal says, Hashem wanted the Torah to be given in an oifen of Nasa the Mishma. And that was really the greatness of Klal Yisrael, and that's the greatness of our relationship with Hashem, that we wanted it desperately. But at the end of the day, it had to be conveyed, they had to realize that really there also wasn't a choice. Because if you don't understand that, you're missing something. There's a hole in the dynamic with Hashem. If you think, I'm dedicated to Hashem because I love Him, and it begins and ends with that, well, dedicated to Hashem because I love Him is great, but begins and ends with that is an imbalanced dynamic. Because the realization has to be that actually there is no choice. We want it, we love it, but there is no choice. And that's why Hashem followed up with, yes, it was a process of dedication and love. But Hashem followed up with just that statement of, you should also know that there really was absolutely no other option. After you chose it, know that there was absolutely no other option, not just no other option, but that no other existence. There couldn't be a world otherwise, like we said earlier. So that's the mixed message here. What is the actual message? So the message is, like we said before, Atem re'isem asher asisi l'mitzrayim. You saw everything that I did in Mitzrayim. I destroyed them, and I ripped apart all of nature because they were abusing you. That is the first and foremost message. But there's another message here. What's also contained in those very words? You saw everything I did to Mitzrayim. Don't be over al Ritzoni. You saw what I did there. Both messages are being given over in the same words. This particularly does have to be stressed in the door of, both have to be super stressed because both are not appreciated enough. It's not enough appreciation of quite how much Hashem loves each individual. And there's also not enough of an appreciation of, there's no two ways about it. And it's not about each person figuring out what works for him, what feels right, v'chole v'chole. V'eso eschem al kanfei nishorim, v'avi eschem eloi. I brought you, so to speak, I brought you here on the wings of Nishorim. And I brought you all the way to me. Meaning like this, Hashem is making a statement here, which is really reflecting the reality of what's happening here. Har Sinai was a moment of intimacy, like we said before. Mashcheni, Hashem did in Mitzrayim. We ran after Hashem to the Midbar. And that culminated with Hevi'ani HaMelech HaDor. Hashem brought us into His innermost chambers. Hashem brought us into a state of the utmost intimacy with Him. Into His embrace, Hevi'ani HaMelech HaDor. And Al Kanfei Nishorim, meaning like I raised you above. The whole Midbar was a place that the Midbar where the Bnei Yisrael traveled was a place that couldn't really support life. The Chazal tell us, Le'ovar Bo'ish, it wasn't a place that could support life. The elements, whatever it was that was there, it wasn't really a place that travelers could travel in a serious kind of way. That's exactly the point that Hashem is making here. I'm taking you out of the natural world. When I'm bringing you to Har Sinai, I'm giving you the Torah. And that was the whole reality of the Midbar. The reality of the Midbar was Klal Yisrael were kind of like floating above the natural world. Midbar was not a natural existence. And this is what Hashem is saying when He's saying, "V'eso eschem al kanfei nishor." That's how the Sfarna explains it. Understand that this whole process is really putting you in a completely different place. You are not a part of Olam Hazeh anymore. You're floating above it. You're operating in it. You're using it for your tafkid, but you're not a part of that whole reality. We have what we call mishpachay so'adama, right? La'asonuka mishpachay so'adama. It basically means, as we've said a number of times, mishpachay so'adama means they're the family of the earth. Family of the earth meaning they're very closely related, come from the earth. Basically what a person's lifestyle cycle looks like. You have earth, goes like this for a few minutes, a few years, 100 years, and then just goes back down. That's basically Mishpachay Sa'adama. Kin of the earth. I'll put it a little bit less pleasantly. Right? The earth is one great recycling plant. If you look around at the people of today, they are the fertilizer of the people in 100 years from now. That's basically what you're seeing here. They're a great recycling system. That's Mishpachos HaAdam. What we're being shown here is you are not a part of that system. You're now on a different plane. You're in a different place of existence. V'atah. And here's where Hashem is really leading up to his message. Im shamoya tishmu b'koili u'shmartem es brisi v'yisem nisgula mikol ha'amim ki li kol ha'aretz. Another packed pasuk. Im shamoya tishmu b'koili. There's three stages here. First of all, this is how our relationship is going to work. First, you'll listen to my voice, and you'll keep my. Then you'll keep my bris, and the result of that will be ve'yisam yiskula mikola. What shamaya tishmu b'koli? So, let's infer from Rashi and Mechukosa. Lo'haya im loisishmu li. What does Rashi say? Loisishmu li means that you're not going to be omel batoru. Shamaya Tishmu B'Koli is basically saying that the foundation for Shmartam is Brisi, in order to really be living my Torah, has to be on a basis of Amel HaTorah. You have to be Amel in a great career of Lishmayas Koli, to really hear what I'm saying. One of the understandings, your eyes, Talmud Torah is Keneged Kulam. It's one of the Talmud Torah is the greatest mitzvah. Why? So there's one place where the Kuzari is meramez. He says it. I'm not going to say he says it. He's meramez. That the point is that Talmud Torah is where we show our regard, how much we cherish Hashem's word. Anything that Hashem said to us, we sit down and we take the greatest intellects and the greatest minds, and we're busy analyzing and breaking it down and really toiling to understand what exactly did Hashem mean. Breaking it down to its finest details. That's why the Chazon Ish says that dikduk hadin, dikduk halacha, in order to really appreciate the value of dikduk halacha, and not just saying, oh, come on, why did the nitty-gritty, why did the minutiae make a difference, has to come through Amal HaTorah. Because it's through Amal HaTorah when you really go through the process of breaking it down, seeing how fine it is, and how, you know, you sometimes have to split hairs in order to really understand what was Hashem conveying here. There's no other nation that's as involved in the efforts in Hashem told us something that for us is Olam Umlayai, and we are going to break our heads to figure out exactly what he meant so we can do it perfectly. So that's the process. We live a lives of Shamaya Tishmu B'Koli, of trying to hear what Hashem is saying to the utmost. That's the first, that's the basis of our avodah, and then Ushmatam is brisi, then we could really actually keep the bris in the optimal way, not in an approximate sketchy way, but with an appreciation of how, yes, every tiny detail when it comes to relationship with Hashem, how every tiny detail matters. Ve'yisem nisgula mikola. Yisem Lisgula means you're going to be my personal treasure, Kiviyachol. Meaning like this. I have a king, a person, anybody, a multi-billionaire. His money is very precious to him, but he has so much of it. It's not like this dollar means the world to me, right? He's happy about the fact that he has $1 billion. But then besides that, he might have some personal item that's just, he always wants to have that with him. Whether it's a family heirloom, something very sentimental to him, but it's already personal. You ask a woman, you have $1 billion in the bank, why is this little trinket so important to you? How much is it worth? Even if it's expensive, so it's worth $2,000. Why do you hold that like this? You know, you're not always running around with your bank account like that. He says, yes, I have billions, but this is something personal. So, Yisam Yisgula Mikol Amin Kili Kol Aretz, Hashem is saying, the entire universe belongs to me. Yet, You are kiviyachol my personal tachshit, the personal jewel that the mashal, elahavdil, like the family heirloom, the person that holds personal sentimental value to me. I keep with me all the time. It's always with me. It's not in the bank. It's not part of my general estate. This is something that I'm very personally connected to. My own personal cherished treasure, kiviyachol. And here's where we're really culminating Hashem's initial message. You are going to be my mamleches kayan. Meaning from now on, what Hashem is saying is, appreciate, Hashem has a whole tzva mora, a whole system of billions of malachim who are shaking and quaking from him and who are saying Shira in the most awesome ways possible. I don't know what this means, don't ask me, but like the Rishis Chachma talks about one kind of malach, kind of different types of malach, right? One kind of malach that's 500 times the size of the world. I don't know what that means, but that's one kind, meaning there are thousands of those. And Hashem is saying, up until now, these were my malachi asheris. Now, you are taking over center stage as my misharsim. And now the malachim are second fiddle to that. You are the main source of my pride, the main source of my nachas, the main source of my attention and focus. The malachim are in the background. The God Kodesh is reiterating what we said before, in a different sphere, not a part of the rest of the world. Floating in your own reality, a different zone. I just want to, we'll end just by bringing home this point of the Mamlechus Kahanim V'Goy Kodesh. The Rishonim say, we start Shema Esrei by taking three steps forward. Right? The three steps back are not really the main din is in three steps forward. That's how you start Shema Esrei, three steps forward. The Rishonim say, what's the idea of the three steps forward? So when we daven Shema Esrei, we mimic the Malachim in a number of ways, right? Stand with their feet together. So the Rishonim say something amazing. They say that the three steps forward is also mimicking the way a Malach approaches Hashem. He takes three steps. Why three steps? Because if a Malach wanted to find Hashem, we were talking in the time of Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. If a Malach wanted to find Hashem, where did he go? He had to go to the Machane Yisrael. Hashem was with the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, the Malach had to pass through three Machanos. Machane Yisrael, Machane Levia, Machane Shechina. He had to take three steps, so to speak, in order to approach Hashem. Because Hashem is here with us. So we take those three steps to reflect the Malachim who have to come through us in order to get to Hashem. But it's reflecting the Malachim's three steps when they take. That's the Mamlechus Kahanim. You are my immediate circle. You are the ones who are operating around me. And you're the ones who are my greater source of service, of nachas, of pride, than the whole system of malachim, as magnificent as it might be. So, Eilei Hadvarim Asher Tedaber Bnei Yisrael. This is how I want you to lay down the proposal, exactly like this, exactly as I put it here. Should be zoche taka to live this whole dynamic and be zoche to an optimal kabbalah.